Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
Scott McKay is away this week. Filling in for him is the political columnist for the Providence Journal, Edward Fitzpatrick. Thanks for joining us, Ed.
Morning, Ian.
And we're pleased to welcome our guest, Congressman Jim Langevin of Rhode Island's 2nd Congressional District. Thank you for joining us.
Well, good morning, Ian. Great to be with everyone.
Let's kick it off with some questions for our guest, Congressman Langevin. You face a challenge from Republican Roo Reese, a small businessman from North Kingstown. It tells us something about the challenges facing the Republican Party in Rhode Island that he was about the 15th or 20th person the party turned to in search for a candidate. But when Reese unveiled his campaign, he said that congressional incumbents are out of touch with ordinary Americans, listen more to special interests and their own political party. How do you respond, and what would you point to what you're doing for ordinary Rhode Islanders?
Sure. Well, I look forward to a robust campaign and a debate of the issues, but right now I am focused on my job, and I believe I'm very in touch with the issues that are important to the people of the state of Rhode Island. It's the reason why they've elected me time and time again. Right now, one of the obviously the major priorities for the people of Rhode Island, as it is for me, is job creation, getting our economy back on track. I'm not satisfied at all that we've seen a recovery in Rhode Island, not with the highest unemployment rate in the country. And as, for example, co-chair of the Career and Technical Education Caucus, I'm focused a great deal on job training issues, whether it's for young people that are in career and technical education programs at the high school level or at the community college level or beyond, for those people that are unemployed, making sure that they have the right skills to do the jobs that are available right now. Has to be job one.
Let's hold it there and go to Maureen.
Congressman, I wanted to ask you what you think after the State of the Union address of the possibility for immigration reform. Do you think there's a possibility that the Democrats and the Republicans can come together? And would your party accept the idea of legal status as opposed to citizenship to get this ball rolling?
First of all, I think there is a very real chance that immigration reform could come to the floor, but it's going to be incumbent upon the Speaker to hopefully bring a bipartisan bill to the floor. My concern is that he's said to the effect that he's not going to bring any immigration reform bill to the floor that doesn't have a majority of the majority. Now, that's not the way to govern responsibly and across the board effort in terms of Democrats, Republicans coming together to support a strong bipartisan bill like the bill that came out of the Senate. That was a strong bipartisan vote, overwhelmingly supported. We should have that Senate bill as the template, the beginning point for what we debate in the House. That's what I'm hoping will come to the floor.
You sound kind of partisan to me.
I think I'm talking about bipartisanship and coming to the floor because that's the bill that came out of the Senate.
Let's go to Ed.
Congressman, I know you're on the House Intelligence Committee, so I wanted to ask you about the NSA program that collects data on nearly every U.S. phone. The Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board just issued a report saying we haven't identified a single instance involving a threat to the U.S. in which the program made a concrete difference in the outcome of a counterterrorism investigation. What's your action to that?
Well, I think it's important that the president talked about the need to reform the intelligence gathering programs, the surveillance programs that exist right now, primarily because the American people have concerns about how robust these programs are. Now, I want to say that there has not, in addition to their, not being, I want to say that there has not been a single instance where there's been shown to be abuses of this surveillance program, that everything is done within the confines of the law and the Constitution. The concern of the American people is that the program may be overly broad and that there could be abuses in the future. So I support the call, and I hear the concerns of my constituents. I listen to them, hearing them loud and clear, that they want more transparency and checks and balances. The president has committed to doing that. I sit on the House Intelligence Committee. I will be involved with those types of reforms. I was just speaking with the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. They right now are set to start holding hearings next week on surveillance reforms and how they will bring a better balance to those surveillance programs. And it is my goal and my hope that at the end of the day, the American people will be confident that we have the right balance between security as well as protecting privacy and civil liberties.
Clay Pell, a grandson of the late U.S. Senator Claiborne Pell, formally entered the Democratic primary for governor this week. He used this quip in introducing himself to supporters at the Rhode Island Convention Center.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Michelle Kwan's husband.
Well, beyond showing that he has a sense of humor, Pell also said he has the temperament and experience to lead Rhode Island forward. What do you think, Congressman? Do you think Clay Pell has enough experience to be governor at age 32?
I think Clay Pell is a bright young man, and I know that he's, along with Gina Raimondo and Angel Taveras, are going to be running very aggressive campaigns, talking about the important issues that are affecting the people of the state of Rhode Island. The people of the state of Rhode Island are going to have a range of robust, strong choices to choose from, and I think any one of them could very well do a good job leading Rhode Island.
What do you say, Maureen?
Well, I say that I'm not sure that his remark shows that he has a sense of humor. It may show that he had a bad sense of timing. It's one thing for the President of the United States to say that, but for a 32-year unelected person to introduce himself that way, I wonder about his judgment there. Look, it had all the bells and whistles. He's got some wonderful background characteristics, but I don't think he has the experience, and I think that will come up in the campaign. However, in a three-way race, if you have in a primary, if you have 10% of the people that will vote because of Pell and the name and the, you know, the Pell war, the Pell grants and so forth, and the support of labor, it's very conceivable that this gentleman could win.
As we know, Ed, Pell is 32 compared to 42-year-old Gina Raimondo and 43-year-old Angel Taveras. How do you see him stacking up with those two?
Well, I think it's smart for him to emphasize his wife, Michelle Kwan. Like I suggested that he run with the slogan, Yes, We Kwan. But, you know, he's entering a race against the two most popular politicians, not my opinion, but what the polls show, the two most popular politicians in the state. So, you know, it's going to be tough.
After the toughest year of his presidency, President Obama vowed in his State of the Union address this week to make 2014 a year of action. The BBC responded by saying the president's rhetoric was bolder than his piecemeal proposals. How do you respond to that, Congressman Langevin, and what should the federal government be doing to help rebuild the middle class in Rhode Island?
Well, first of all, I share the president's frustration that not enough is coming out of Congress in terms of bipartisan legislation that'll make it to the president's desk that he can sign, that'll strengthen America for the long term. So when he talks about things like increasing the minimum wage, that's something that I certainly support. Also calling for an extension of temporary unemployment benefits because there are too many people right now that are out of work, and that temporary unemployment benefit may very well be the difference between families having food on the table, a roof over their head, or not. And so I support that proposal, as well as his call for tax reform and closing tax loopholes to corporations that ship jobs overseas and reward major corporations at the expense of real job growth and growing jobs here in America. So this should be a call to action, and I support the president in his efforts.
Ed, the president spoke this week as Rhode Island now holds the distinction of having the nation's worst unemployment rate. What was your reaction to his speech?
One thing he's emphasizing is the gap in income. So, you know, I think and he proposed the minimum wage increase. So I think that's going to be an issue here in Rhode Island because it's being proposed on the state level also. And one question I saw in a Pew Center research poll recently was whether you think people are poor more often because of a lack of effort or because of their circumstances. And I think that's a dividing issue depending on how people answer that question.
What do you say, Maureen?
I thought it was a really good speech in the sense that I thought he walked a nice line between indicating that he was not going to be a lame duck and he was going to do things. And he struck out on his own, but the basic agenda was jobs, job creation, investment, education, the kinds of things that Republicans could buy into. This was not a speech about redistribution. It was not a speech about the welfare state. So it was centered in a way to address the concerns of the middle class. And, you know, when you talk about tax reform, that's a Paul Ryan's issue. So you may be able to – he may be able to work something out and get some effects of this. And so I thought he positioned himself well, and we'll see what happens in the next year.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable, Maureen.
Thank you.
Ed Fitzpatrick from the Providence Journal.
Thank you.
And Congressman Jim Langevin.
Thank you, Ian.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.